بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يسبح على كل سلامة من أحدكم صدقة، فكل تسبيحة صدقة، وكل تحميدة صدقة، وكل تهليلة صدقة، وكل تكبيرة صدقة، وأمر بالمعروف صدقة، ونهي عن المنكر صدقة، ويجزئ من ذلك ركعتان يركعهما من الضحى، رواه مسلم. Continue with the chapter, the various manners and forms in which we can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept or idea that the good deeds are not limited, but there are many, many actions a person can do which will be constituted as a means of earning the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that for every joint in the body, each morning there is a charity which has become incumbent upon each one of us. We find that the subject matter of this hadith is found in various ahadith, and it will be dealt with in greater detail one or two ahadith later, where there is much more detail with regards to this. But we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this human being such that throughout our bodies there are joints. If you look at our fingers, there are two or three joints on each finger. Likewise, the elbow is a joint, the knee is a joint. Ulama say, and this is scientifically actually, it has been scientifically verified, that there are 360 joints in the body. And we find that this is mentioned clearly in another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This number is mentioned, 360. Now, it's a limited occasion, but just if you ponder just a few seconds, the value of each of these joints. If you look, for example, if a person didn't have an elbow, just one joint, how are you going to feed yourself? How are you going to change yourself? You'll require somebody else to do everything for you. If you look at the hands, remove the thumb and the hand becomes useless. So like that, there's a saying, تُعْرَفُ قِيمَةُ الْأَشْيَاءَ بِالْأَضْدَادِ, that you will come to know the value of something if you observe someone who doesn't have this. There are a few examples where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested certain individuals, and we find that they go through bimari or sickness. And when you see the person in that condition, like it is often said, if you want to know the value of eyesight, look at the blind man. If you want to know the value of speech, look at the person that cannot speak. So every one of these joints of us, we got up this morning. Imagine from the time we woke up from the bed, how many joints of the body we used, and how much of ease, afiat, we were able to get out of the bed, make our wudu, come to the masjid. What is the price tag of all these ni'mats? What is the price tag that you are going to put on these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with that sleep, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with being able to get up in the morning in a healthy and sound manner, and able to come to the masjid. Did we even ponder that, Ya Allah, how much of shukr of yours I have to make? How much I should be praising you? How much we should realize Allah ta'ala's favor and ni'mat upon us? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws our attention to this. And he says, yusbihu. Yusbihu means every morning. Ala kulli sulama ahadikum. Every joint of this body, the fact that you have health, the fact that you have afiat, the fact that you are able to use your joints with ease, there is a sadaqah, there is a charity, there is a so-called attestation on your part that is required, that realize that Allah has favored you. So what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Give sadaqah and charity for every limb in the body. Now imagine, if every day we had to pay a tax, 360 limbs in the body, we had to pay a tax for each limb in the body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that will be very, very difficult. So on the one hand, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says there is a sadaqah. But moment we hear of sadaqah, charity, we think financial. That financial, no doubt, that is the most superior form of charity. But here, look at the ease which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has created for us. He said, every time you make tasbih, Every time you say Subhanallah, every time you glorify Allah, that is one sadaqah that you have paid. Every time you make tahmeed, you say Alhamdulillah, that is one sadaqah that you have paid. Every time you say tahleel, which is Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, that is one sadaqah that you have paid. Likewise, every time you say tahleel, tahleel is la ilaha illallah. Every time you recite the kalima, that is one sadaqah. Every takbir you make, every time you say Allahu Akbar, that is one sadaqah. So minimum 360 sadaqah you have to give. And what is the benefit? What is the benefit? Inna sadaqah tadfa'ul bala. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you give charity, bala, musibat, calamity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes. So this is like, in fact, by us doing this sadaqah, appreciating Allah's ni'mat and bounty that Allah has given us these 360 joints. We have ease, we have health, we have afiyat. Now, by giving this sadaqah and appreciating this ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, it is a way of ensuring that Allah keeps us in health. That Ya Allah, I'm giving this sadaqah, I'm giving this charity, and through sadaqah, bala and musibat you remove. So keep me in afiyat, keep me in ease. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the way that you will give this sadaqah is varied. In keeping with this chapter, bayanu kathrati turukil khair, many ways of doing good. So Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And not only that, he said amrum bil ma'roof, when you enjoin good, show somebody something good, that is sadaqah also. Nahyun anil munkar, when you stop somebody from doing something wrong, you advise somebody, prohibit evil, that is also sadaqah, that is also charity. And then what a beautiful advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us. He says, "Wa yujzi'u min dhalika rak'atan yarka'uhuma min ad-duha." Every morning when you get up, there are 360 sadaqah you have to give for the 360 joints in the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. You have ease, you have afiyat, you have health. With this sadaqah, Allah will remove bala, musibat, Allah will keep you in health and with ease. Now, every day sit around, take a tasbih, count 360 is difficult for everyone. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sufficient for all 360, for the entire sadaqah, will be 2 rakats of salah that you will perform at the time of chashd. Salatul duha. Salatul duha is a great sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that unfortunately to a very large extent has come out of the ummah. Many of us, we hear about it. Very, very few amongst us, maybe 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000, is practicing upon this great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatul duha, ulama explained, they say the time starts from when the sun rises to the length of one spear, that is the time of ishraq. From the time of ishraq till just before zawal, about 10 minutes before zawal, is the time for salatul duha. The most superior time for salatul duha, ulama explain, is about 3 hours after sunrise. That is when the sun has really risen and everything is lit up around about 10, 11 o'clock. That is the most superior time to make 2 rakat salah. What we call salatul duha, this is a proven sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every day that we have an opportunity to perform. Ulama say you can make salatul duha or chash 2 rakats up to 12 rakats. So let us get in the habit every morning 10, 11 o'clock. In our businesses, put the musalla down, or if you're near a masjid, go into the masjid, read the dua for entering the masjid, make the niyat of itikaf, and spend a few minutes, 2 rakats or 4 rakats, and see how the kayfiyat and the manner of our entire day will change. Another interesting point, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, Subhanallah is sadaqah, Alhamdulillah is sadaqah, Allahu Akbar is sadaqah, La ilaha illallah is sadaqah, enjoining good is sadaqah, prohibiting from evil is sadaqah, and then he said, 2 rakats salah. 2 rakat salah is a suitable alternative for all these sadaqat. Why? Because we find every one of these things is found in salah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. In other words, Allah's zikr. Aqimis salata li dhikri. Allah says, establish salah for my zikr, for my remembrance. So in salah, zikr of Allah is found. In salah, tilawat of Quran is found. Quran is wala dhikrullahi akbar, the most superior form of zikr. And the question may arise, where is Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar in Salah? Where is enjoining good and forbidding evil found in Salah? We find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha عن الفحشاء والمنكر. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. That salah, if it is performed properly, then as a result of salah, all forms of lewdness, shamelessness, munkarat, disobedience of Allah will be cleansed and removed from the life of a person if he will make his salah correctly. This is why very often I give this advice to my friends and so on, that we're very worried about our children. We're very worried about our youth particularly, the challenges that they face. My respected brothers, how difficult is it for you to ensure that every day when you're coming for Maghrib Salah, you bring your son with you. When you're coming for Isha Salah, you bring your son with you. If it is a daughter at home, leave the house making the elan, the time of Salah has come. If this much we do, challenges we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine the challenges, the attack against the iman that particularly the youth are facing in the schools and the universities. As parents, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, at least hold the hand of that child when he is 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Bring the adat, bring the habit of salah in the life of your child practically. Azan goes, there must be something that happens to you. The kafiyat of the whole house must change. The wife on the one side, the husband on the one side. This will plant the seeds in the life of that child. And if you get in the habit of bringing our child to the masjid, and salah is established in that life, then eventually Allah will protect that child or that teenager from the challenges that they are facing. Quran is telling us, inna salata tanha anil Allahu Akbar. Once someone came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, famous incident found in Fainil Fazail Amal, Abu Huraira Ghaliban. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah, there is a man that is making salah, but he is a thief, he's stealing and he's making salah. What was the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, the salah eventually will remove that bad quality from his life. But obviously the salah has to be salah. Unfortunately today our salah is up, down, kiss the ground and walk. No emphasis, no effort. Wallah, my respected brothers, this is such an amal that has been given to us, salah. This is such an amal. The month of Rajab is coming. We remember this amal, that this gift was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this month, during the Mi'raj. This is such an amal which will solve every problem that we are facing, which will remove every of the munkarat from our lives, which will give us sukoon and itminan. Whatever pareshani you are facing, whether it is in your house, whether it is in your business, whether it is financial, whether it is physical, wallah, in this one amal Allah has kept the solution. If we will make salah the way salah is supposed to be made, we find the mafhum of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man lam tanhahu salatuhu an al-fakhshai wal-munkar, fala salata lahu." Wa fi riwaya, "Falam yazdad min Allah illa bu'da." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you are making salah anyhow, and the salah is not cleansing you of guna and of wrongs that are found in your life, then he said, this salah, Allah protect us, is in fact taking you away from Allah." One riwayat it comes, he said, "Fala salata lahu." What you are making is not salah. So if I am a musalli, if I am coming to the masjid, but munkarat is not coming out of my life, Allah's disobedience is not coming out of our life, then Quran is haq. What is the problem? The salah I am making is not correct. I am not placing the correct emphasis on the manner in which I should perform that salah. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanallah.